I'm really so honored. I can't even begin to express how proud I am of you. You are the epitome of what the kingdom of God is, the epitome of what church is. And sometimes you might feel alone in a battle, but I want you to know that not only this nation, but around the world, and I travel all around the world, just got back from three countries, went into the White House and flew here and go back to the White House and go to London next weekend. And we're all over the world, and people know the people of Pursuit. You are big in the kingdom, doing great things. So don't be weary in due season. And how many of you know, I was so encouraged, and as I was ministered to, I was just bawling in worship. Man, it's such a powerful presence of God here. But the Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Now, it's not like, God, are you happy with me? But it means to be in agreement, to be in alignment. Without faith, it's impossible to agree with God, to align with God. And Pastor Russell taught us last week, now faith, right? You've got some now faith, amen? And so we know that without that faith, it is impossible to what? Agree with God. So the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the enemy wants your faith, right? So if he wants your faith, because then if without faith you can't be in agreement with God, he wants your hearing. He wants you not to have an ability to hear. But the Bible says, how will they hear without a, come on, preacher? So if the enemy wants you to come out of alignment with God, he really wants your proclaimer. You are so blessed because God has given you one of his choice servants. He's given you a man that has boldness, courage, is anointed. Listen, I have people that serve me. My executive director said to me, I'm in relationship with a lot of people. And he said, he's been in ministry like 60 years. I mean, he's been doing this a long time. He said, if I were to ever work for anyone, I'm like, Danny, you're like 75 years old. You're not starting over. If I were to ever do anything for anyone around the world, because he just won, he goes, there's only one person. I said, who would that be? I'm thinking it's going to be, he's going to say, well, you again, Paula. He said, Pastor Russell Johnson. He said, he's got that anointing. Come on, stand up on your feet and let your pastor, come on, the man of God that torments the devil, come on, that wakes up and an alarm goes off in hell, that loves God, loves his church, loves Pursuit, loves, that is, come on, not only rocking Seattle and Washington State, but rocking the nation for the kingdom of God. Pastor Russell, we love you. And this I know, and the devil cannot have him. Why? How many of you are going to be praying for your pastor? Come on, standing with his vision, standing with this call. Look at somebody, say, well, I carry something too, so you're blessed to be sitting next to me. Just tell them. Say, you're blessed to be sitting next to me. All right, I have a word, and tonight I hope that you'll join me over in Seattle, because as I minister, I know I'll never get through all this in the first, and I really want to get you in a place of alignment. I really feel that as we do something, and I was searching God, I was like, God, what do you want me to say? What do you have for me to deposit? And the reason tonight's so important, because I'm going to minister, lay hands on people. We'll see devils cast out. I've seen three people raised from the dead in my life. There's two real strong anointings on my life, fertility and finances. So you'll probably either get pregnant or rich. So one, maybe both. I've seen God do creative miracles where women didn't have ovaries or wombs, and they've been, and literally a year later, I've gone back and seen them hold babies, and it's just an anointing on my life. God gives everybody a gifting, right? And he gives us all something. So tonight, we're going to kind of culminate what I'm going to start on this morning. And I want to talk to you, because if you're going to be in alignment, you've got to understand your position to carry out a purpose. Amen? So with that in mind, we're going to go over to Esther, and it's not gender specific, but I'm going to get you over there, because I know and I believe that God has a word for somebody today. Who's my somebody? Come on. That God cares. He cares about your situation. He cares about you. God wants to get all up in your drama. He wants to get right up in the midst of everything. And I believe, I don't know who drove 118 miles and had to get here, or how far you came from, or what you had to get through, or who had to drag themselves out of bed or out of a sickness or discouragement. But you said, I cannot miss church, because God has something for me today. And it's that kind of faith, come on, that you had to pass through haters and naysayers and protesters and everything else, that God just says, look, I'm going to deposit something great for you today. And I believe this. This is why I'm going to minister this today. Because first off, we're not in an ordinary moment. I don't just fly across the country, but I felt like I had to. I felt it was so important. I believe in your pastor. I believe in this ministry, and I believe in you. I believe that God is doing something great in you, that I came to encourage you, came to help you be your best you. And this is not an ordinary moment. It's a miraculous one. And I was in the White House this past week, and I was doing some things. And the day that I was going to listen to Pastor Russell's sermon, we had a great speaker. And he said something, and then I went home and listened to Pastor Russell's sermon. And when I did, this is what he said. He said, the opportunity of a lifetime only exists during the lifetime of that opportunity. Well, I get home and I'm listening to Now Faith, and I hear the opportunity of a lifetime only exists within the lifetime of that opportunity. And God said, put people in their moment. They will not miss a moment. So I declare, I didn't come to preach. I came to prophesy. And when you prophesy, you shift things. Atmosphere shifts. People shifts. And so I don't know who I'm here for, but I came to let you know that you have a divine moment right now. You're in a set time, a season, and sometimes they're difficult to see and recognize, but every veil is going to be removed, and whatever hindrance is holding you back, it's going to be released by the end of tonight. I decree it, I declare it, and it is done in Jesus' name, because you're coming into this harmonious experience and expression for the design of who you are and what you carry. You carry something great, and if I get nothing across today, this is about Esther, but it's really more about the revelation of what made her in position. And it's not gender specific. It's really about you and all you've gone through and your testimony and who you are and the things that you want to curse, but don't curse your crisis. They're forming you. They're making you. You won't even recognize. And I'll talk about it. People think, well, you got in politics and this happened and da da da. No. I was pastoring a church because they gassed a man with gasoline in the inner city. And we just moved to Tampa, Florida. It was 1989. And God told us to leave Washington, D.C. and go to Tampa. And they put gas and they tried to light a man on fire because of the color of his skin, and it outraged me. So God said, go in there. It was Ponce de Leon. It was College Hill. And it was Section 8 housing. So I started going in and telling about Jesus. I started a children's program. I started feeding people. The next thing I know, the Muslims came after me heavy. I got hit the first time with a hypodermic needle. They held guns to my head. Hey, that's just another day in the office for me. So that was just like, hey, I'm in the right place at the right time. God's up to something here. And so they started calling me pastor, and they said, well, the white woman's a devil. And they said, well, we don't know if she's a devil. She is white. She is a woman. They got that part right. And they said, but what we know is she feeds our children. She knows our name. She prays over us. She comes here. She knocks on our door. You see, real ministry is presence, right? It's not just preaching, it's presence. It's showing up. It's Now Faith. And so they started calling us pastor. It was five people we started with, and the church grew into be the second largest church in the nation in the 90s. Had over 28,000 members. And so in 2003, or a little before that, 2002, the mayor came to us, and Eddie DeBartolo, and they said, look, we've got a problem getting big business into Tampa because everything's landlocked from pornography. And they said, there's one city council member, and he won't change his mind. This is what he's doing. See, I thought everybody just thinks you get somewhere. Like, I just get this random phone call and get somewhere. But God was working a plan, just like he is in your life, long before. Now, this would be one of the hardest times I'd ever go through. And so they said, would you put some pressure on the city council member? So we put pressure on him, because we'd changed that area. He changed his vote. When he changed his vote, they did this 6-foot ban for a lap dance because pornography ruled and reigned in 3,000 adult zone areas. In other words, it had schools on lockdown, it had business on lockdown, all this stuff happened. So we were like, we scorn porn, daddy don't go in there, you know, we're protesting. And we fought it up to the Supreme Court. Not that we thought we would win it, but it was a mechanism to keep 6 years going, because it takes about 6 to 8 years to go through a Supreme Court case. So I had no idea what I was doing. On January the 13th, 2003, the FBI and the criminal IRS comes knocking at our door. You haven't been through life till you go through a couple of criminal IRS and FBI raids, Pastor Russell. I mean, I was the first of many. And the one thing I can say to POTUS is I went through lawfare before you did. And weaponization and the things that I fight for our country. But I wouldn't have had the courage to fight for it. I wouldn't have had the ability to fight for it if this would not have happened. And I thought, how can they come after us? We're clean as a whistle. Why are they doing this? I go, what's going on? Next thing I know, I'm researching and I read 96% of people go to prison over this. I went, whoa. I said, they're not playing. So we get all these attorneys. We have to spend over $1 million. We didn't have that kind of money. I mean, it was hard. And we get these ex-IRS agents, and they go in, and they look at our case and are doing all this stuff. And in 6 months, we're cleared. 6 months. 6 months. That's great, isn't it? It's great, but the cost was horrible. My ex-husband had a complete nervous breakdown. Everything that could be shaken was being shaken. And it's like God uses things in some weird ways that I'll talk about today to get you to your purpose, because you're actually walking in that purpose when you don't even recognize it. And so what threw me into politics was a criminal IRS investigation, because I knew they were wrong and I knew I'd done nothing wrong. And so at the end of that 6 months, the ex-IRS agents who did the investigation came back and said, "Who on the inside hates you?" And I didn't know to call it weaponization against government, but do you know most of our religious liberty cases that are fought for the freedom of people to worship and have the right to go up and just say, "I love you, God," are done so by their own government. And your government should not be the one fighting you. They should be the one protecting you. Well, we're not the first one to deal with a Haman spirit. How many of you know in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principality and power and wickedness and darkness. So I don't know who I'm here for, but I just declare, can I make some declarations over your life today, okay? I declare you will be in divine alignment. I declare you will not misstep in the name of Jesus. I declare you will not have a missed moment. I declare you will not be weary in well-doing in the name of Jesus. Come on and slap somebody, say, "You don't have a clue who you're sitting next to." So here it is. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," what? "In the earth as it is in heaven." The will is the intention, the purpose, the original intent of God. Be done in. They're two different words. In the earth as it is in. In the Greek, one is ian, one is epi, E-P-I. So what he's really saying is this. Through the power of prayer, when you're worshiping like you did today, you're literally having the will, the intention of God. When you pray, when you worship, when you're in God's presence, you're superimposing what is in heaven in place and position to come to earth in a fixed position in time and place and state and order. Literally, you're bringing the will of God to pass. Today, there's going to be some divine activation that which is heavenly is going to come and invade the earthly. So where are you, Esther? Come on, where are you, Daniel? Where are you, Joseph? Where are you, Nehemiah? I'm looking for you right now. Where are you, Zerubbabel? I know that God has raised you up for such a time as this. So here's what we want to look at. When we start to look at Esther, and we're going to go to Esther chapter 4, we know this, that when we look at her story, we're going to get into the divine story of this woman who was an orphan girl. She came from very little. But I've got good news for you. Your past does not determine your future. And where you start does not determine where you're going to finish. I was at the White House a few weeks ago, Pastor Russell, and I was walking from the EEO be into the office, because my office is in the West Wing, where the Oval is. And there's only about 13, 15 offices, very few. And I just started bawling. I started crying. And people are looking at me and I'm just weeping because I'm overwhelmed with the goodness of God. Because I'm 60 years old this year and been in ministry 40 years. Been doing this a long time. And 42 years ago, just about 45 minutes from what the world will consider the most powerful place in the world. I'm in the Oval, the West Wing. Pastor Russell's been in my office. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm crying because 42 years ago, I'm living 45 minutes away in a trailer. My mom and dad have cut me off. My stepfather, I'm going to tell you the story real quick. They've cut me off. They'll have nothing to do with me because I became a Jesus freak. I got saved. My father, my biological father, committed suicide when I was 5 years old. My mother remarried when I was about 10 years old. And so here I am, I'm 18 years old, and I go down to Georgetown to party one night. I know none of you have a past, so just forgive me. I know all of you are angels, and you did it right. You grew up in church speaking in tongues and having visitation with angels. But for the rest of you, just bear with me for a minute, right? So I'm down partying in Georgetown. And this really cute guy, my husband's here, and I'm going to honor him in just a moment. Jonathan Cain, y'all have heard of Don't Stop Believing, Journey, Faithfully. He wrote about 300 hits, and God literally dropped him out of the sky. You'll hear that tonight from Southwest and gave me. I've been married before, but I've never had a husband. I have a man that loves me, covers me, protects me, cares about me, loves God. So I'm partying, and I go, and I see this really cute musician. It's always got to be a musician. I don't know. Baby, you should have got me when I was 16. He lived right down the road from me. He goes, but babe, you were underage. I said, my mom would have signed the paper. She was crazy. So here we are, and remember, I'm crying because I'm down at partying in Georgetown, and there's this musician, and he wants to have a fling, so I decide I was heading back to Berkeley, to California, to go to college, because I'd come from Danville. We'd moved up to D.C. I'd moved 14 times in my life as a child, and so I'm going to have a summer fling, but that summer fling got me. I got pregnant, so now I'm pregnant out of wedlock, and then I go to this guy's house, and I meet his grandmother's uncle, looks at me and says, I've got the answers to your questions and the solution to your pain and problems. And I look at him like he's crazy, and I said, what are you talking about? He said, and he pulls out this Bible and he starts giving me the plan of salvation. Now a preacher preached my dad's funeral, but I never heard about Jesus. Think about it. 5 years old, my father commits suicide. At 6 years old, I begin to get sexually and physically abused. From the age of 6 to 13, I'm abused in places that I can't even begin to speak because it'll invoke too much pain in some people's life. My mother, though she's very educated and I came from a pretty well-to-do family, she's got 2 masters and a doctorate, is a raging alcoholic. I never see my mother sober a day in my life until I'm about 50-something years old. And then she's going to die. So all I knew was, am I meeting Jekyll or am I meeting Hyde? I'd go in and my mom would be holding my brother and he says, God, I don't know why she's calling out to God because we never had a relationship with him or knew him. She goes, God, why did you give me such a beautiful boy and such an ugly little girl? So I grew up thinking I was ugly inside, outside. Everything was wrong with me. Everything in life conditioned me to be a failure. Everything in life conditioned me. They said I would be an abuser. They said I'd be an addict. They said I'd be in prison. They gave me a prognosis because that's the world's diagnosis for a person with a past like mine. It wasn't just my father that committed suicide. There were 8 other men and people that committed suicide. It's called a generational curse. I don't care how many commas and zeros you have in your bank account. A curse is a curse, and it's not without a cause. But today and tonight, it'll be broken in the name of Jesus. It will be broken in the name of Jesus. So I'm living in this trailer, and I'm crying because I recognize only God can take you out of that kind of abuse, that kind of brokenness, that kind of past. And put you in a place, not because you deserve it, not because you earn it, but because God has sent you into this earth with a purpose. Who am I here for right now? Come on. First thing you've got to know today is your past does not qualify you. God has already chosen you. So I'm going to get you 3 things today, all right? I'm going to get you that you have a purpose, you've got to be prepared, and we're going to get in position. Is that all right? For the next few moments, let's read Esther chapter 4. And it says, then Mordecai commanded to Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. For if you altogether hold your peace at this time, then there will be an enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. In other words, what God's saying is my plan is going to be fulfilled. But if you don't do it, it will come from somewhere else. You know, all you really have in life, we're so disillusioned. We think we have all these things. All you have is a dash between the dates. And it's what you do with that dash that really matters. You have that dash to fill up your life. Your vapor, come on. James says it's like a vapor that's here, then it's gone, with what you're going to do for the Lord, because it's the only thing that matters. It's the only thing that has weight in eternity. So he says, enlargement will come, but you and your father's house will be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Slap somebody just right upside the head. Say, you still don't know who you're sitting next to. Just say, I'm your biggest blessing, and you're going to figure that out. And says, so go gather all the Jews that are present at Shushan and fast for me, and don't eat for 3 days or three nights. And me and my maidens will fast too. And we'll go to the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. In other words, I'm willing to fulfill this purpose even if it costs me my life. I'm trying, Pastor Russell, because it's going to take a radical church like Pursuit to lead the way. It's going to take a radical church like Pursuit, come on, to get the rest of the body of Christ in line and see that purpose is serious, that God is real, that His presence matters, that His plan works. Come on, and God is not done with Washington. God is not done with America. God is not done with your family. And God has not written the rest of this story. Come on, Pursuit. You're at the tip of this. And when you recognize this, that you're at the tip of the spear, and if it costs you everything, what is that anyway? Because in this life, it's such an illusion. We really have nothing except for everything God gives us. She says, if I perish, I perish. And Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded. Who knows if I've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And we say it, but I'm an etymology girl. I'm like your pastor there. I like to get to the root of what does it mean, because have come means to lay your hand on, to reach, to arrive. Now watch what it means. It means to strike, to punish, to defeat and destroy. Who knows if you've not arrived, if you've not laid your hand on, to defeat, to destroy every demonic entity and system that is stopping God's kingdom from advancing in this earth. Who knows if you haven't come, and if you don't think you're in a different season, I promise you're in a new season right now. Everything has changed. Everything that can be shaken has been shaken, and we've seen COVID changed everything. The last 10 years, if you think the church is like it was in the 90s or the early 2000s or 2015, you've got something else coming. Pursuit is a leading church. Pursuit is a opening church. Come on, it's got that breaker anointing. It's a Judah church. It's got that breaker anointing. It's a leading church that others will follow. And you're leading the way, and God chose you to lead the way, because God chooses your geography. God's the one that planted you here. God's the one that called you to Pursuit. God's the one that called Pastor Russell to be your pastor, who happens to be one of the best, not just in the nation, but in the world. Come on and help me out. So who knows? If you haven't come to lay your hand on, to strike, to punish, defeat, destroy the enemy in his kingdom. And who knows if you haven't come to the kingdom, the rule, the reign, the royalty of God for such a time. What's that mean? It means when. It means due season. But from the root of this, eternity, everlasting, old world without end. You didn't show up 34 years and 19 days ago. When your purpose gets into position, it's a kairos. It says you have been sent from everlasting, from eternity, to lay your hand on, to grasp, to take hold of. You have arrived to rule, to reign, to take dominion, Esther. You have come to the kingdom from everlasting. I've got to get through to somebody. I got to get from their mind to their spirit right now, because I'm not talking to you mentally. I'm talking to you spiritually. You didn't just show up. You were sent up, because you came from Him, and you will go back to Him. He will sum all things up in Him. If I had time, I would really work it and show you how you are a rhema word sent with a specific perfect manifestation that God has already blessed. And you are a sent person, and sent people act different. They talk different. They walk different. They think different. They show up different. They don't apologize. They don't act weak. They understand, I'm here to occupy. I'm here to advance. I'm here to own. I'm here to do business. Doesn't matter if I'm living in a trailer. Man, when I was living in that trailer, I put JCPenney curtains up and I made it look like the Taj Mahal. Come on. Because I knew that that was just a temporary situation. Just because I came out of something, I knew. I always felt like the black sheep of the family because I knew I'd turn all the sheep to white. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? I knew that God had something different for me. Am I talking to some world changers and some societal influencers? I thought so. So when you come into divine alignment with the will of God, you begin to release your why. Your why you exist. Your why you are here. The why of God. The intention of God. Divine alignment is when we begin to walk in the counsel of God. And his original intention. To be in alignment means to be in a position of agreement with someone or something. Now think about what I'm saying here. Because there are a lot of people, there are many people going to church today, but they're not in agreement with God. If they were in agreement with God and they were in alignment with God, there would be no need or no lack in the church. If everyone, because the church is the only legal entity in the earth that has the authority by God and mandated to bring forth true transformation. The only purpose for me, for government, beside maybe our defense and defend your nations and sovereign, and I'm talking as a pastor right now, guys, okay? But from a spiritual place, the need for that is to protect the church. Because the church is the only legal entity that can bring forth true transformation. Governments come, governments go. Governments rise, governments fall. Presidents are in, presidents are out. Governors are there, governors are gone. The only legal entity in the earth that has the ability to bring forth transformation is the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ. You're it. You're it. And you're in a divine moment, and I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, if I came to tell you one thing, hear this right now, because I'm prophesying. You're in a divine moment that will not always be here. You're in a divine moment where God has put people in place, including myself, to hold back the gates of hell. So the ecclesia, come on. Because God doesn't, he doesn't even talk about the church until you get over past Paul. The ecclesia can do its job and you can go outside of there and advance the kingdom of God, because God is harvesting the nations right now. And God is raising up his people right now. And you're part of the bigger plan of God. Look at somebody, slap them, say you don't have a clue who you're sitting next to. I'm here, y'all gonna get me excited, watch. And I'm saying this because there are people praying 3, 5, 7, 10 times a day. They're pastoring, quoting the name of Jesus, but they are not in agreement with God. You better hear me what I'm saying. There's so many buildings that are full of religion, but they're people that think they're doing the right thing, protesting, but they're not in agreement with God. Hear what I'm saying. There are people that don't even understand. And I just declare today, you will not misstep, because you have a set time. You have a season that I promise you, God spared the life of President Trump. That bullet should have killed him. That bullet should have taken him out. But he was late. Him and Natalie had done up that chart. It always goes to the right. It went to the left that time. He always does it at the end. He did it 8 minutes in. Everything that had never happened happened that day, because God miraculously saved his life to put a slew of people in to hold back the gates of hell for the church to do what it's got to do right now. Hallelujah. You better hear me. Come on, you are an army. You're an army. Alignment means the correct position or positioning, or different components relative to one another, so that they can perform properly. It also means to put in order, so it can function. You know that there's not divine alignment. Because if there was, when you look at something as a whole, you can have problems, but you're still functioning. In other words, when you look at the church as a whole, and COVID revealed this, you saw how sick the church was. You saw how sick and how weak it was. Because there are too many people that just compromise, don't want to say anything. Well, I can't make a statement. What's wrong with you? Jesus made crazy statements. He did wild things. If you stand for nothing, you'll fall for everything. The devil is a liar. So when you recognize you're in a due season, I've got to get to my 3 points, where eternity invades earthly, you don't have to make a moment. You have to discern it. You have to seize it. Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Anything beyond my capabilities? I'm going to preach for 6 minutes on time, then I'm going to give you your 3 points like that and get you into divine alignment tonight. Whatever you're going through is minuscule to God. And the reason's because he already had the solution before you ever had the problem. There is nothing that God cannot get access to. You're coming into your season. I prophetically proclaim this over and over. I'm here to tell someone, it's only a matter of time. It will come to pass. And sometimes we learn so much in church. We learn the order of worship. We learn church history. We learn the protocol. But what we need to learn, and what I love about this ministry, is we need to learn about God. We've got to focus on who is God, because heaven is in his hand. Earth is his footstool. There is nothing that he cannot do. And many names to describe who God is. Ezekiel calls him a wheel within a wheel. Not to describe to you what he looks like, but what or who God is, who he is. God is not a line. He's not from here to here. God is a wheel within a wheel, because he has no beginning and no end. Stay with me. He is a circle. He is eternal. He is everlasting. He is endless, from everlasting to everlasting. He is an eternal God. And as God speaks, there is spinning. There are circles that turn into cycles, and cycles are seasons, and seasons are set time. And that's why so much of our life, there's times of chaos. Come on, spinning, where everything is spinning. But out of chaos, God brings cosmos. God brings order. And he created time to dwell within the circle. The rhythm of the circle is how we get time. If we could investigate and see through the heavenlies, then we would see from God's perspective that everything is spinning. Come on. Circles are creating cycles. I'm going to say it over and over again so you won't miss a moment. And cycles are creating seasons. And seasons are a set time. You're not going to miss this set time. You're not going to miss your moment in the name of Jesus. And because God created all things and God created time, they stay on course and they work for his good, not for man's, for his good, according to purpose. Now that's important, because remember Romans 8:28, we like to modify that a little bit. We like to own that with our own spin on it. But it's real clear what the enemy is meant for bad, that God turns it around for the good. He didn't say you're good, for the good to those who are the called according in harmony with his purpose. The only way that thing gets turned around is when you're walking out the reason that you've been sent here for. And then when you're walking it out, you don't have to worry about whatever's going on bad over there, because God cannot lie. And God said what the enemy did is going to work for the good. It's part of the bigger plan. And I know you can't understand a piece because you're looking at a speck of it. But for someone who's done this for 40 years, I promise you, the good is always working. And it's working on behalf of your family. It's working on behalf of dedicated people to God. And it sure is working on behalf of pursuit. Come on, you better believe that God is doing it. Now, your watch. Everybody got a watch? Come on, get yourself a nice watch. Give away a watch so you can get a nice watch, all right? Your watch. What helps your watch keep time? You know who gave me this? Adelis. That's, I got a nice watch on right now. J.D. Shuttlesworth's wife gave me this one. I got some nice time on right now. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So your watch helps you keep time. It's the spinning of the circles that work together. God controls those seasons. He makes all time work together. He's eternal, and he created time for man. And God moved, come on, and he created in the evening and in the morning. Everybody thinks God spoke first, and they're like, use your words. Your words are important. But before he ever spoke, the Spirit of God moved. So the movement had to do with the timing, hear me. But God it existed before the first day. So time is for man. Therefore, to trust God for his circles, his cycles, his seasons. A day is as a thousand with the Lord, right? Everything that he promised is just a matter of time. So some of you got to get that pit bulldog mentality. Like, I ain't going nowhere. You just got to look the devil in the face, say, do it again. You got to be like, you're half crazy. Do it again. Come on. I dare you. And you just got to be like, the blood of Jesus is against you. You've got to get that Syrophoenician woman's attitude. You messed with the wrong kid. You messed with the wrong child. You shouldn't have messed with this one because you triggered something in me. And whatever I've got to do, I'm going to touch Jesus. Whatever I've got to do, I'm going to get to him. Go ahead, call me a dog. Call me whatever you want. I just need a crumb of the bread of this loaf. I don't need the whole thing. I just need a touch from God. Am I here for anybody, come on, who's got a perseverance, who's got that right spirit? So watch, time is given to measure purpose. Now that's important. It's given to measure purpose, to do the right thing at the right time. I hope I'm going to get you there now. So the right time is your season. God's sovereignty meeting up with man's destiny. What's happening at Pursuit is not natural. What's happening at Pursuit is supernatural. This building is not natural. It's supernatural. And it's one of hundreds that are going to come into your possession. The Lord showed me hundreds that are going to come into your possession. In fact, all of you are going to be needed. You've got to get equipped now. That's the preparation part. Because you think your vocation is to be in IT. You think your vocation is to be in security, but God's about to reroute it for the kingdom purpose because his plan and purpose is bigger than your plan. It's bigger than a paycheck. It's bigger than that company benefit. You're about to get some kingdom benefit. So watch. What happens with the timing? I got to get you to the purpose and preparation and in position. What happens with the timing when you're getting ready to go is your biggest battles come with contractions. Now, anyone having contractions? Any women ever had babies here? Contractions are when you are going and you pass out. Contractions is where she slaps you and says, you did this to me. Yeah, contractions hurt both people, right? So you're pushing into the birthing of your set time, and all hell is trying to hold you back. Now, when you're pushing, because you're pregnant, I can see it, your water's about to break today. Come on, you're going to give delivery before tonight. Now, what happens is when you're having contractions, think of it like this. Jesus had a Garden of Gethsemane. He had a crucifixion before a resurrection. The battle is to make you miss your moment, to pull you out of purpose. But you are not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. So you can't miss the moment unless you intentionally step out. No devil, no hater, no situation, no problem. Nothing can make you miss the moment but you is what I'm trying to get to you. Nothing can make you miss it. So watch this. And when I was 2015, y'all know I met POTUS 24 years ago. Get a phone call and he says, you've got the it factor. I said, sir, we call that the anointing. And he repeats to me three of my sermons on value of vision verbatim. I thought, man, he listens better than my congregation. So God told me to show him who he was. So that was what I thought my life assignment was. Had no idea, and I'll tell you more about that tonight. It was about a bigger plan. I didn't realize it, but I did understand that I carried a purpose. I did understand you have to prepare for where you're not, where you haven't been. And I did know that God would position me, and that's where favor would come. Because when you're in position, that's where the favor is released. Are you with me? I'm going to get you there in the next 7 minutes, all right? So what happens in 2015, 2014, he calls, he says, hey, I'm going to go for this. I said, great. He goes, you're going to be my faith director. I'm going to be president. I'm like, yeah. So I'm over in France preaching, and the news gets a hold of it, and they start trending me on Twitter. And like that, in minutes, I lose 10,000 followers. This happens. I start sending hate mail. So my office, I've only made two statements in my entire ministry. My office says, you need to get up and make a statement. I said, why would I make a statement? They said, you're losing 10,000. We got this. You just lost a slew of partners. All of this happened. I said, I have nothing to say against my purpose. I have nothing to say against my purpose. Let me give you some insight. You don't have to defend why you were sent. You don't have to explain why you were sent. You don't have to analyze why you were sent. You just have to be obedient to it. And when you get there, that is where everything begins to fall in line. Because blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know the rest of it. He brings forth his fruit when? In due season. The only time you're going to see that fruit and then everything you touch prosper is when you are seated in the seat of why you were sent here, and you had to be born when your mama and daddy went to Motel 6 and did the wild thing. They had to go do the wild thing because you had to clock into purpose, because you carry an assignment for an almighty God, and you're living in the most crucial times where nations are being harvested and the world is coming to see and know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Muslims are coming to know him like no one else right now. Christian music is bigger than rock and roll right now. I'm telling you, Gen Z is returning to church and going to church like no other generation. America is increasing Christianity. Bible sales are up 22%. You aren't hearing what I'm saying. It's all been for this moment. It's going to come to a close. There's a time where we'll say, Maranatha, he's coming back. But you've got work to do right now. Look at somebody, say, don't miss this moment. Don't miss it. So watch, I am, this is where your fruit is. Let me just give you purpose. So what is purpose? Because you're a person, a sent person with purpose. Purpose comes from the root word propoun. It means aim, intention, to put forth, to put or place by design, to put before consideration. So purpose preceded the person. God was not waiting for you to show up to give you something to do. Psalm 139, 16. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God's original decision is his final intention. God does not change his mind about you. God did not say, my God, Paula, I can't believe it. I can't believe you got knocked up. God knew I was going to get knocked up. I can't believe you lived in a trailer and they called you trailer trash. They did. But I found out that God's in the recycling business. And what they call trash, he calls treasure. You see, I'm being vulnerable and showing there's so much that I haven't even begun to say it. There's so much that we'll get into that I'll tell you more and more. Because you'll understand that God's not looking at what you think is your mistake or your failure or the things that you still feel ashamed about. If we can get that shame and guilt and fear and hurt and offense and anger out of you, I'm telling you, you have no idea what God's going to do with your life. And today's going to be a day of divine deliverance. So watch what he says. I love this scripture in the message in Romans chapter 9, verse 10 and 11. He makes it so clear to us that God had a design, a purpose. And that's not the only time. To Rebecca, also a promise was made that took priority over genetics. When she became pregnant by our one-of-a-kind ancestor, Isaac, and her babies were still innocent in the womb, incapable of good or bad, she received a special assurance from God. What God did in this case made it perfectly plain that his purpose is not a hit or miss thing, dependent on what we do or don't do. but a sure thing determined by his decision, flowing steadily from his initiative. You know, you didn't do this. God did it. God did it. So when you begin to understand, instead of being a victim and me sitting here going, my daddy committed suicide, I go, I had to be formed this way. Every single act in my life made me who I am. Everybody that walked out on me, everybody that walked in for me. Everybody that hated on me, everybody that cheered for me. Listen, you learned to shut the noise out in both. A mentor of mine told me one time, said he's walking down the street, and he's very well known in the 20, 30 years ago, and he said, and this woman said, you saved my life. You saved my life. And he's like, well, thank you, ma'am, you know, but I didn't. Jesus did. And he walked one more block, and there was a woman, and she had her hand out for money, and he started to give her money. He said, you blankety blank foul preacher, started cussing him out. You're a con artist. You're a scam. He said, one block difference. I saved one and one hated, and neither one of them are true. Because truth is somewhere far away from those that think you're the Savior and far away from those that think you're the devil. Truth is you are a sent person in the image of God, that everything you've gone through is part of the plan of God for the purpose you carry. You didn't make an accident. You were chosen. Chosen people don't have accidents. There's nothing about you that is an accident. Oh, you aren't hearing what I'm saying. I'm preaching better than they're clapping right now, Pastor Russell, for some reason. One more minute. So Isaiah 46:10, I've made known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. My purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. He says, my purpose. Look what he's saying. What's his purpose? You're his purpose. You're his purpose. So put your name in there. Paula will stand and do all that God pleases. Pastor Russell will stand. Susie, you'll stand. Jason, you're going to stand and do all that God will please. Then preparation, I'm just going to give you, I want to get into all that the Father and the Son have decreed over you right now. But preparation, real quick, I'm going to give you one thing. God tells us to study this little thing called an ant, right? Somebody go to the ant. Prepare means to be ready beforehand, to equip, furnish, or to fit, to make ready by putting together the parts. So I'm going to leave you with the scripture. Go to the ant, thou slugger, and consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summertime and gathereth her food in the harvest. Why? The ant's a forward thinker, because it prepares for where it's going, not where it's been. And listen to this, Pastor Russell. It goes and it grabs something that is 10 times bigger than its body. You've got to have a vision that's 10 times bigger than your current situation. You've got to have a vision that's 10 times bigger than your size or capacity right now. You know, I've got to tell you, when we were, we at one time owned Carpenter's Home Church. It was at one time the largest church in the nation back in my pastoring days. And I'm just this young girl. And I said, I'd come into it and I said, one day, this is going to be our church, real innocent. And I'm there in the sanctuary and it had really a huge stage. And I wear high heels. I've worn them all my life. So you know what I did? I took a briefcase and I started walking up and down it like this. And somebody walked in and they said, what are you doing? I said, practicing. I was shopping at a thrift store at the time, for real. My budget for my year was $50 for clothes, but I was practicing how I could walk down those steep stairs on hills much higher than this. But when I was 30, I should have run down those. Now I'm 60, so I'm still doing good. What I'm telling you right now is you've got to practice. You got to prepare. Practice for something 10 times your size. Practice for something 10 times where you are right now. Practice for it right now. And practice doesn't mean you're just seeing it in your mind. It means you're actually getting out and doing it. You're in an arena that you don't belong in. You're up against Muhammad Ali and you don't know a rope-a-dope. Practice right now. Because when you practice, you're telling God and you're telling the world, I'm somebody going somewhere. So the first time I met Mr. Trump, and this will be the conclusion for today, and we get you down here. The first time I met him, they took me to this place called Jean George. Now, I couldn't even say it at the time. I said, Jean George, because I'm from Mississippi. So you don't even say the two S's in Mississippi. Mississippi. Can I grab a quick water there, Emma, or somebody? Thank you. Thank you, Aaron. Telling you, y'all got some allergy stuff going on up here. Y'all got every tree in the world up here. Fir tree, dog tree, bark tree, rough, whatever else tree. I'm like, my gosh. But it's all good, Pastor Russell. I'm going to pray harder for pursuit. So they take me to Jean George. It's a 9-course meal. I've never seen a 9-course menu, and I'm with Ms. Trump. Keith's there, Rona's there, some other people, and he says, go ahead, Paula. I said, oh, no, sir, you first. I couldn't even read the menu. And when you don't know what you're doing, you turn to someone who does. So he starts ordering. And they bring out these little appetizers. And they bring out this little glass thing. Now, to me, it looked like a shot glass. Y'all, I'm from Mississippi and out of the trailer. Come on. It looked like a shot glass. And it had what looked like some juice in it or something. So it came out with that little appetizer. So I just took the shot glass and swung it like a shot glass. I didn't know it was to cleanse your palate for the next thing that was going to come out. Don't laugh at me because y'all would have done the same thing, all right? See? It's good to tell the truth in the house of God. Amen. And then they kept on. And I got back and I went to my hotel room and I made a call. And they said, my assistant got on Stacy. I said, Stacy, I need you to do something urgent. She said, what is that? I said, send me to etiquette school. I did. She goes, why? I said, because God's taking me somewhere. I said, God's taking me somewhere. Now, I had no idea that I'd go in during the first term and I would literally help set the table to presidential dinners. And you better know etiquette then. You see, how many moments and how much delay have you put on your own life? Because God sent you in a situation and you didn't know what to do. And God didn't send you there to embarrass you. God didn't send you there to chastise you. God sent you there to show you a bit of your future. But when we're held back by fear, insecurity, low self-esteem, generational curses, you can't get in position. Because you'll go home and instead of saying, send me to etiquette school, believing that God could ever use you for something great, you'll beat yourself up on what a failure you were by taking something as stupid as a little glass when it was to cleanse your palate and make it look like you were a country bumpkin out of a trailer drinking it down like a shot of whiskey. You know, we're laughing together, but how many of us have been there together? So how many of you can say, Pastor Paul, I need prayer right now? Because before I get into deliverance tonight, I need prayer that God will begin to show me everything, every fear, every mindset, every stronghold. And a stronghold is a mindset that is resistant to God. Every place that, not because I don't have a willing heart to be obedient, because I've had a checkered past that's tried to frame a narrative in my life that is really not why I'm sent here. And today I'm telling that narrative, it's got to be broken. It's a lie. And lies don't even exist because lies and deception come from a father by the name of Satan. And that's not my daddy. And if you'd say to me every time you felt you started to advance, when the battle came, when something happened, either you made a mistake, you fell, something happened, and you felt like, man, I'll say it properly, man, I messed up. I was going to say it a little bit more bolder. If that's you, will you just stand up? See, that's the first step of deliverance right there. Come on.